Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
All right, back to your final segment of the show. Five on it coming your way in just a moment. Jason Ross, Doug Christie here as we're getting you to Kings basketball tonight. It's the Kings and the Spurs. Team's going through some warm-ups right now. One more reminder, too. We'll remind you early next week, too. But, Doug, we're getting some people that are chiming in on our text line at 916-339-1140 or the phone lines at 1-800-920-1140 if you'd like to golf with you and me.
I was just about to ask you, what's up? No, I mean, are we not worth it?
Oh, we're worth it.
Well, how much are we worth so far? Do we have any bids in, or how do we?
I don't know what the last number I saw was. The number's too low.
The number's too low?
To play with you. And the number's right in my area, but to play with you, it needs to be.
Oh, you the 50 cent part?
It needs to go north.
Really?
It needs to go north. But it's for Make-A-Wish. It's for the kids.
It is.
Come on, it's for charity. It's a write-off for you, but it's a chance to golf with us at Whitney Oaks on Monday, May 17th.
Humiliate me. Go ahead. Give me a number. Like $200?
That's about where it is.
Oh, man. Come on, people.
Couple Doge coins.
Couple Doge?
Doge coins.
Oh, man.
But, again, you can reach us.
Did you even tell them that you get a signed pair of Doug Christie golf shoes?
No.
You didn't tell them that?
I did not.
Yeah, see? Come on, man. Hey, do the show.
I'll bid.
Huh?
I'll bid on that.
Yeah, you get a fresh pair of Nikes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, they're in your office.
Business is booming.
Booming.
So, again, you can reach out to us on our social platforms. We'll talk about it more early next week as well. But 916-339-1140 if you want to text in now, or certainly call and let us know at 800-920-1140. All right, let's do it. Let's jump into Five on It.
On it.
I got five on it. I got five. A look at the top five at five. A spin around the nation to hear five stories. Five people, five opinions. This is I Got Five on It.
All right, let's lead things off on Five on It, talking about the game tonight. It's the Kings and the Spurs. Jason Jones covers the Kings for The Athletic. Jason, suddenly an important game, really, for both teams. How did we get here with the Kings, Jason, this roller coaster season? You covered this team a long, long time. Has this been as up and down as you've ever covered this team?
This is the most up and down I've been with them. Not even close. The extremes of good to bad have been crazy.
Jason, we hear that De'Aaron Fox is going to be back in the house, not necessarily obviously playing in the game tonight. Is there any way that he dons the court again this season?
I think there is. There's got to be a chance because now you're playing for something, and if you win tonight and you can get him right, you got to get him back out there. And I know De'Aaron. De'Aaron loves to play. De'Aaron's not a sit-out type guy.
No, not at all. And if he gets that opportunity, I know they're treating it a little bit like Whiteside when he was allowed to be back with the team, but then still took a few more days to get back. How about Barnes? We saw him work out, I guess, at the OKC game, maybe the Pacers. Do you think he plays at all?
I think he plays at some point, too. I just knowing Harrison, he's not a sit-out guy either. And if you're Harrison, you want to be a part of this, too, because I think he understands the importance of finishing off strong no matter what and setting a good tone for the offseason and going into next season.
Out of the guys that have been added, Jason, at the trade deadline, you got DeLon Wright, you got Mo Harkless. Who else am I missing here? Damian Jones, Chimezie Metu, Terrence Davis. Who has impressed you the most?
Oh, that's a tough one. I knew DeLon was good. I think I'm going to lean with Mo just for this reason. People forget, Mo wasn't even playing in Miami.
Yeah.
He was a guy without the rotation. And I think I talked to one of the coaches, and he said, from what I remember, Mo's a pretty good player. So if we can get him in and get him going, he can help us. And I think he's helped them a lot, giving them another guy. When Harrison is healthy, helps Harrison defensively. And to me, this team needs more know-how guys, guys that know how to play the game, know where to be on the court, and know how to direct guys. I think he's helped them a lot with that. To me, it's impressive given that he really didn't have much of a role at all in Miami most of the season.
Jason, there's been more starts and stops for Marvin this year again, but when he's been on the floor, there's been some pretty good moments, especially this last go around. Do you think Monty McNair and the organization has learned what they needed to about Marvin and his future?
I think you've got enough. I think you saw the improvement over the course of the season when he wasn't playing in the fourth quarter. I even said at the beginning of the year, calm down, folks. He hasn't even played, 80 NBA games or 100 games. Let's give him some time. And I think you see, we knew Marvin could get a bucket, but now you're seeing, he can play in a system. He can make, you can run things for him, and it's not going to be throw it in the ball to Marvin. It won't come back out. You're seeing a lot more from him, and I love just the energy, the rim running. He's using his athleticism. And I think that, you go into this offseason, unless you're blown away with something, you just look to see what you can continue to build with him.
Yeah. Jason, yesterday we had Luke on, and I know you listen to the show every day. We appreciate that. So you probably heard the interview. But in case you weren't listening, I said to Luke, and you tell me if I'm on track here, I've been impressed that after that Utah game that this team did not quit on him. They've continued to play, and they've played hard, and I think that it speaks volumes about how they feel and the respect that they have for Luke. Am I on to something there?
I think you completely are. I think it says a lot because, I've been around this team a long time, and I've seen, other coaches they've had where the guys clearly had stopped playing for them at one point, and it was obvious to everyone watching. 2 years ago, it was clear some guys had tuned out Dave Yeager. So to see these guys, after losing De'Aaron, losing Harrison and Tyrese, when a lot of people would have said it's human nature to kind of pack it up, they showed more resolve. And I think that speaks a lot to the players and also to the fact that Luke and the staff has kept these guys engaged and, they've earned their trust and their belief. I think, for me, a big thing with a coaching staff is you've got to be able to communicate and have those players trust and have them buy in. They've got the buy-in. Mm-hmm. So I've been thoroughly impressed with not just how the players have bought in, but also how they've adapted and started using guys differently. Buddy's all of a sudden this multi-tool.
How about that?
We got Buddy, running late game pick and roll. something that if you would have said that a week ago, we would have said, oh, no, this is trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
To me, that's a credit to the staff. That you've got a guy like that where at one point it was clear he wasn't happy, but the relationship is there. You kept him engaged and you built on what he already does. And now look at him. I think you got to give the staff a lot of credit.
For sure. Jason, thank you. That's Jason Jones getting us started here on Five on It. Insider for the Sacramento Kings, of course, for The Athletic. Let's jump to topic two here. Maury Brown, he's a senior contributor for Forbes Sports Business. Maury, we got a couple things we'll bounce off you. First, let's start with Albert Pujols. So much talk about when he signed his 10-year deal as a player, but there's also a service deal. What can you tell us about this for when Albert is, in fact, done with completely done with playing and back with the Angels?
Yeah, so the big thing about it will be that he'll likely be involved in. I don't know if that's coming through. I got somebody talking to me here, but hey, I think the big thing that you're going to see is that there'll probably be some stuff that he'll do, probably some public facing stuff for the club. Mm-hmm. He'll continue to probably shake hands and whatnot. He'll be there at spring training and whatnot to go help the club. But it's Albert Pujols. He's going to be, inducted into the Hall of Fame. He still can likely help as, potentially around hitting, if that's part of it. I'm sure that he'll be involved in maybe some, games as a retired player. But he'll continue to be a face, and he's been a marketable piece of that club for a long, long time. So, I think that they got their money out of him. He didn't, of course, come around, in terms of his performance. That certainly wasn't there. In terms of his marketability, especially around his milestones that he had, I think that they got their money's worth out of him.
I'm trying to get that deal. Good Lord. Okay,
yeah,
I'm with
right?
it. Mari, the Seattle Mariners, my very own Seattle Mariners. Talk to us about this section that they have. It sounds like it's a vaccination-only section. Are we correct on that?
Yeah. And, I think you're going to start to see more and more of this around – sporting events, and I think eventually at concerts, right? So what they're doing is there's no social distancing or anything that goes along with it. If you can show that you've been fully vaccinated, then you'll go ahead and you can show. This includes if you can go ahead and show a negative test within and have proof of it. But if you're fully vaccinated and you go there, you can go ahead with no distancing. They're going to do tickets as low as $10, the bleacher seats. But if you go ahead and buy certain items, you get out of the like team store, you get a 20% discount on concessions. And then they're going to have a pop-up vaccination center that's being done by one of the local hospitals there. So I think this is really smart, right? I mean, you get people to go to the games, you incentivize them and go, hey, here's where the cool people are. You can go and hang out with them. And by the way, you can come over here and get vaccinated, and then you have that opportunity to do that. And as we've seen vaccination numbers go down, this kind of provides an opportunity. Mets are doing it. The Yankees are doing this sort of thing. I think you're going to see more of this. I think that, you know, eventually the NBA maybe you'll start to see it. I think it's going to be something that's going to branch out here pretty soon.
Well, I'm curious about, you know, we're here in Sacramento. There's going to be a Kings game. There'll be 1,800 people here. That's not that abnormal based on what everybody's gone through over the better part of a year. And businesses in all sorts of walks of life have lost money. Is there a do you get any read on any kind of long-term effects on kind of the economy of sports based on how COVID hit the world over the last year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it hit them hard. You know, and it hit everything. It really did. I mean, here's an example, guys, of something completely different. So youth sports, right, which is normally, you know, you look at that. I just got a report on that it was down like 20, 25% across the board. Wow. Everything with the exception of golf, right, but team sports in general. So at the professional level, of course, baseball played with no fans. You saw, you know, what happened with the NBA where they fired the season back up kind of at the end of it there and did the playoffs without it. And he did the Stanley Cup Finals without any fans. You know, baseball had it a little bit there. They had the NLCS and World Series with some fans in Texas. But it hit them all. And in that, you know, a lot of sports are, of course, have some television revenues to lean back on. I mean, you know, your big four sports are going to have that. Other sports didn't. I mean, minor league baseball, no season at all. No television, no nothing. Auto racing, where, you know, they really rely on fans to keep things running, they took it in the shorts as well. You know, baseball said something around the lines of $2 billion in losses. Now, some of that is going to get paid out over time. Some of that is rebating their television partners, which, of course, didn't get to show a full slate of games this year, but continued to pay them. So they'll have to pay them back over time, but you know, it is one of those things to where it'll continue to be a little bit this year as well. Some sports will dodge it maybe completely. The NFL, you hope for. But, I mean, it's going to continue to hang around for a while. And I imagine that it'll be another 5 years or more before you finally see the effects of last year and this year maybe come off the books.
Mari's going to be my service agent.
That's right. All right.
Take care, Mari.
Thank you, Mari. We appreciate that. Some insight there from Mari Brown. Now let's check in more on the story with the Angels. B.J. Martin, MLB, L.A. Angels contributor for Talk Primetime, joining us. B.J., let's start with that Albert Pujols story. Obviously, he's in the final year. It surprised us. I don't know. Was the writing on the wall that this was kind of inevitable to happen with Albert Pujols?
Well, I had tell you, I was surprised too, and I think most people in the Angels community and fan base were awfully surprised on Thursday when the news came across that they were going to let him go and you know, eat the $30 million left on his contract. Three players kind of sealed the fate, and that was the performing H and first baseman who's really come on just last year. Also that first in the new first year GM, he and was playing right. I saw that Walsh should, I think Menezes would be playing first, and there was probably more risk of injury of him being out in right field. And then the third person, finally Pujols himself, batting 198.
Wow.
And really not contributing much in the last 5 years. The optics are bad, but when you take a deeper look at it, what the Angels did, you know, you can play for a bench or we can let you go. And Pujols feels he can play every day. He's been a great competitor. He's a future Hall of Famer. And the Angels are letting him find an opportunity to play somewhere else every day.
Man, that is solid. What does he mean in the locker room? A lot of times, because normally this happens at the end of the year or before you start the season, so there's time to separate, then you get back to your job, start doing your thing. But Albert, I would have to think, is a big personality. He's been there for 10 or 11 years. So what does he mean to the locker room?
He means a lot. And that's the one factor I think that probably will hurt the team the most with this move is not having his personality there. He was obviously very close with Mike Trout and a mentor to him throughout the years. I think he was also one for Jared Walsh, as I just mentioned. He's beloved by his teammates. He's been a great leader, as you said. And that, if nothing else, that will be the thing I think that's missed the most with Pujols' absence.
You think he plays again? Does someone take a chance at him?
That's an interesting question. Now, I'm actually working on a story on that right now. And when you look around the league, it's hard to see a competitor, in my opinion, picking up a 41-year-old who's batting 198.
Yeah.
Has been in a steady decline the last 5 years. However, he's like within 30 home runs of 700, which only four players have done before, or actually three players have only done that before, Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth, and Henry Aaron. And I have to think that that's one of Pujols' goals. I don't know if he can achieve that. I think he's 30-plus away from that. So if there's two teams that come to mind, first of all, La Russa's White Sox already said he's not an option, as much as La Russa loves him. So there's two teams that come to mind. One would be the Colorado Rockies. In a hitter-friendly Coors Field, Pujols may have a shot playing half his home games there to maybe hit 30-plus home runs that he needs. And the other one would be kind of an outlier, and that would be the Kansas City Royals, whom former teammate Mike Matheny is the manager. They were teammates on the World Champions and the Cardinals. And Pujols went to Maplewoods Community College in Kansas City, where he was drafted by the Cardinals. So that would be a fitting spot for him to potentially end his career. And I don't see it happening in St. Louis with Goldschmidt there and without the DH. This is a situation where if the NL had the DH this year, maybe the Cardinals would have been.
All right, that's B.J. Martin. You're breaking up a little bit there at the end. Thank you, B.J. We appreciate that. Let's move on. Next topic here on 5 on It. We bring back on the show Holly Lil Bear Lawson, former boxer and trainer, joining us. Holly, let's start with Canelo versus Billy Joe Saunders coming up this weekend. Any chance at all for Billy Joe?
It's boxing, so there's always a possibility. And he's, he has a title. So in theory, he is well accomplished. I personally think he's pretty overrated, so I don't give him much of a chance, but, there's always a possibility in the sport.
Holly, what about the Canelo Triple G?
What about the Canelo Triple G?
Would that be a trilogy? Is that a possibility?
It sounds like the only way that happens is if Golovkin comes up to 168 because Canelo says he's comfortable there. And okay. I think that's a fair demand of him, honestly, because he went up to 60 to fight Golovkin, who's always kind of insisted on being the person to make the demands in all of his fights, but he's not really in the position of power now. So I personally don't see Triple G acquiescing to that, but that might happen.
Holly, how about Doug and I have spent earlier in the week when, it was yesterday, I think, when there was some talk with Mayweather and
he got his hat. Woo! took his hat.
A shenanigan.
Yes. But as you see, basically, Logan Paul and Jake Paul, when you've been a boxer, you're a trainer, how legit are, because they've looked good, but then how legitimate are they?
They're terrible.
Okay.
They would not beat a nationally ranked amateur at their size. They wouldn't beat any boxer in boxing, not any boxer.
Wow.
But they've been fighting people who are not boxers in the sport of boxing. And I'm personally, as a fighter, I'm always offended that they were granted licenses to fight as pros, knowing that they would not beat an amateur. I think everyone kind of, Floyd is a hot topic with people. People love him. People hate him. People want to see him lose. And he has been retired for a while and whatever. But whatever you think of him, it's obviously a money grab, so he's going for the money. I can't say I'm mad at him because I think that it's easy work for him. He gets in there. It's an exhibition fight. So it's, however many rounds it is, the gloves will probably be bigger. it's easy work for him because he handles a guy like that like no problem. It's easy money. I think the disrespect and the kind of tomfoolery, as you may be, that they bring to the sport, personally, I just don't like it. You know, it's that whatever the saying is about if you mess around with clowns, join the circus or whatever that saying is. What is that?
That one works, Holly.
That was
solid work.
Yeah, so it's. I feel like it's you're entertaining clowns and you just become part of the circus. And unfortunately, Floyd was sucked into becoming part of the circus with this. It's just, you know, it's, I don't know. I find it disrespectful, but to each their own, I guess.
You know, Holly, I guess the term is disrespectful. I said yesterday where I run into the issue is like, for boxing, Floyd is arguably one of the greatest boxers of all time. So just the fact of you shouldn't be able to be like that and get in the ring with such a person of high regard in the sport. Now, I understand the money and all those different things. Is that one of the things that bothers you? Is like, can you imagine all these actual professionals that are, you know, maybe I'm 25-4 and I can never get a shot at Floyd and this guy's 0-1. And is that kind of what you're vibing off of?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, the people around him, everyone's been gassing him, the Paul brothers, both of them, up enough and setting them up with these people that they think they're going to be, right, who are not boxers. And so they've been filling their heads with this idea that they actually are boxers and can box. And, yeah, it's the disrespect and it's kind of the entitlement, really, right, where it's like, oh, I can come into this sport that is this, has this storied history and it moves in this way that's kind of old school. And it's, you know, boxing is largely based on respect, and regardless of what you think of Floyd and some of his antics leading up to a fight, after the fight, he was always super respectful to all of his opponents. And, you know, he really did respect the sport. He put in the time with training and, you know, he was really dedicated to that. So I think that the disrespect to the sport in general and kind of the disregard to the way things work in boxing, and boxing is, you know, it's the gentleman's sport, right? It's based upon some kind of, there's an unspoken thing there that we are going to treat each other with this certain level of respect, because I know that getting in there as a professional fighter, you come with the same ability as me and you're trying to knock me out. And I think that is lost when you have these people who are not boxers, have not put in the time, and they are just being allowed to behave in the ways that garner them YouTube views.
Holly, I said yesterday that by getting in the ring, you have a puncher's chance. I said 0.1.
Might have been 0.001.
0.001. Do you give Paul any chance?
No. No.
Okay.
No. Right. Maybe the 0.00001. Like, perhaps there is that.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Just
thing.
Accidentally.
Yeah, it's slim. It's my math skills are not that good.
Mine either. That's why I was asking you.
All right, Holly, thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Holly.
All right, that's four parts of our five on it. I think that's lack of respect. There was very clear for what she said on that. Our last one is a little sound bite here. Let's hear from a Hall of Famer, Terry Bradshaw. This is from Fox Sports Radio talking about Aaron Rodgers.
I do think that our superstar quarterbacks feel a little bit empowered by their fame and certainly by their fortune. And I do believe that while Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal, look, he's an incredible player, but I could sit here and tell you right now, he has probably the worst footwork I've ever seen for a starting quarterback. Yeah. But I do believe they are a little bit pampered. A lot of coaches would say, you know what? He deserves to be pampered. He's this, he's that. Aaron Rodgers coddled maybe too much. He has no right to want to get the GM fired. What right does he have? I'm support Green Bay here. Make him come back. You know, make him come back to you.
He has Rodgers.
I don't know.
Worst
about
footwork
the man
in the league? That's
I
not
don't
true.
Know. I wonder what he thinks about Brett Favre's footwork, because I can remember hearing Aaron talk about the fact that one of the things that he took from Brett Favre was he learned how to throw with his feet off the ground.
Yeah.
So no one rolled up on him, kind of like Tom Brady got rolled up on. To sling it like he slings it?
He's doing all right.
His footwork is just fine with me, sir.
Yes.
Terry, put the purple drink down, son.
Well, that's it for us. Still time for you. By the way, 916-339-1140. You can text or 800-920-1140. You want to golf with us? Whitney Oaks, Monday, May 17th, part of the Make-A-Wish Golf Tournament. Again, we're getting this. Donations all go to Make-A-Wish. You're going to get to golf with us. And apparently, you're getting some Doug Christie autographed shoes.
Yeah, if you remember to bring them.
I'll bring them.
Okay.
So our bid right now, the last bid we saw was at 200. We got to go north of
200?
That. Let's go north.
I thought
just
we
for
gonna,
one of
I
those
thought
shoes.
We was going to put a couple of stacks on it.
We'll
but,
see.
Well, not for us. It's for Make-A-Wish.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So let us know. DC, have a good call tonight. We'll
and an autographed sleeve of ball. Golf balls, the kind
oh,
that
now I, you're just adding
stuff. No, the kind that I use. I was writing on them last night. So if you're ever out there, I know we got to go really quick, and you find it's a yellow ball, it's a Bridgestone, and it says DC13, that'd be your boy in some bushes or a pond near you.
That's it for us. Game night comes your way next right here on KHDK.